Tell everybody who you are and what you do.
This is Dwayne Trafford. Worked for the Caldwell County Pinerol 911 Dispatch 911 Center.
Well, and you have another job too, right?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead and tell that one too.
I'm Caldwell County Coroner.
There you go. So I don't know how in the world you got to do both. I mean, how in the world you got into, but I guess one kind of goes, I could see
goes hand in hand.
Right? So this week is Telecommunicators Week. And if you don't know, that's our 911 dispatch, right?
That's right.
That's a long title.
That is a long title.
For our 911, they're the people, the first people you call that you hear that you're begging for help with. And I'll tell you, what in the world got you started with that?
It's just part of the services that Caldwell County provides, and I just thought it would be interesting to get into that. And so I applied, got the job, and been there now almost 19 years.
I started to say, when did you start doing stuff like that? In 19, you say how many?
19, almost 19 in July.
That's a minute.
That's a minute.
Come on, Dwayne, that's a minute. So did you have to go to, this is not something you just go over there and plop down and sit in the chair. I mean,
right.
There's you know, a method in school and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, yeah, you have to go through a background check and do some different steps in order to get to the point where you can go to the school. Then when I went, it was 4.5 weeks up in Richmond. And believe me, it's run like a boot camp up there. It's pretty strict. They have strict rules, and if you don't abide by them, they send you home.
Wow.
But anyway, got through that and got back and been doing this now for 19 years almost.
So what got you really into, I mean, you just woke up one morning and you said, you know what? Like, that's what I'm going to go do.
No, I don't know. It just, they were advertising for help, and I thought, well, you know, maybe that's something I can do to help with the community. And so that's what I did, and luckily I got hired, and the rest of it's history.
It takes a special person to do that, Dwayne.
It does.
I don't know if you got to be, what kind of, maybe you got to be a special kind of crazy. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, that's a lot of it. That's a lot of it. You have to.
You got to have compassion, though.
Oh, you have to have a lot of compassion for people, you know, because you're talking to people at their worst times. You know, it could be something simple to you, but on their end of it, it's a major issue. And then you get those that calls that are, you know, that are really an emergency type thing, and you have to know how to control your caller and so that you can get the information to get first responders to them.
You got to stay calm in the storm, right?
Yes.
You're almost a psychologist in some ways.
Almost.
Well, and you're there for people. And I just think, you know, where would we be without our 911? Well, about, you know, the 911 hasn't just always been there.
No, it hasn't. It didn't start, I think, until after the bombings, I think, was in New York. Then that's when things got really going with the 911 system.
Well, and I know I've heard some of the stories about how our 911, they had to go door to door just to get the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And when that translates into, you know, the phone calls and then getting every, how do you know how to send out addresses? And I mean, that's, I can't even get to the courthouse some days, Dwayne. How do you tell all of our emergency responders?
Well,
there's got to be an art to that too.
Well, normally when you receive a 911 call, it will come up where it hits a tower around the area here, and then a lot of times it will pinpoint to almost where the caller's at, like an address. Now sometimes it's different. Sometimes it just hits a tire site and you have to ask for the address. But most generally, if you're at a residence, say, you know, in the city, county, it pops up, populates. But now, a lot of times when you're out in the community, out in the county, and you have a tire site, then that's when it gets a little bit tricky because you don't have an actual address, You know, you have to ask a caller, well, what road are you on? Do you see an address? That sort of thing, so that we can get it a little bit closer for first responders to go.
Do you stay on the line with them during that time?
A lot of the times we do. We'll stay on the phone with them if it's a really bad case or scenario that's going on. We'll stay on the phones with them till first responders arrive.
What's the longest you've had to stay on a call?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Probably, I'd say 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Maybe,
okay.
Something like that.
Well, and some of that time, you do get the fun ones, too, that call in.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, my son, I got a title on my son, Eli. Baby, mama loves you, but I'm about to tell on you. So he's special needs, right?
Uh-huh.
And he has a thing about wanting to snag a phone. Well, the very first thing, if you hit the right, you know, mm-hmm. thing on the side, it calls 911.
Right.
How often do you get those calls? Eli can't be the only one.
We get them. Well, we get them quite a bit. We get a lot of them from, like, small children that, if their parents are not watching them close enough, they'll grab that phone. And it'll dial 911, and then you start asking them, you know, is your mama there, or is your daddy there? And they'll say, you know, they'll make some kind of, like a baby does, and they will. Then you start asking them, can you take the phone to mama, or can you take the phone to dad? No.
No. Well, I don't want to do that. Then they're going to know what I'm doing, right?
Right.
I'm not going to throw myself under the bus, Dwayne.
Exactly. Come on. Exactly.
Well, and that's where you hear the mama stomping in going, what are you doing?
Right.
So, and I'm telling you, the most mortified thing in the world. I mean, we all think that it's horrific when our kid does that.
Yeah.
But it happens.
It
right?
happens. It happens more than you would think, you know, and you know, if it starts being an issue, We try to, it, normally an address will come up with that part of it, and we can send law enforcement there to either, you know, say, hey, you know, your child's playing with the phone, you need to maybe watch them a little better, or just to make sure that there's not an issue going on, you know, with mom or daddy maybe laying in the floor, you know, with some kind of an issue going on with them, you know. So, you know, it goes back and forth, you
right.
know. But most generally, it's just a small child playing with the phone.
Well, Eli just loves it. That he will snag a phone. And I don't think he ever does it on purpose. And he has no idea who he's calling.
Yeah.
He has called people in other countries before. I will tell you that. So if you get a call, if you're on my contact list and Eli gets the phone, he may call you one day. He's nonverbal, but he'll laugh.
Yeah.
You'll hear him laughing in the background, right? So I got a tattle on myself, too, because I got a phone call one time. And this was the crazy thing. Evidently, my dog got this jug stuck on his head, like this big jug. And my neighbor went by and called 911. She's like, there's this dog with a jug on its head. And Shirley had to call me. So do you get those calls, too?
Yeah. We get, you know, a lot of calls like that as well. You know, people drive by or something, and they'll see something, and they'll call. And most generally, by the time – you know, whoever is responding to it, it's already over with. You know, they can't locate it, or like I say, you know, the problem solved. So, yeah, we get all types of calls.
You get crazy ones from my house. Dogs with jugs and Eli, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, I'm going to tell on him too, because I've seen you when we had a really hard time too mm-hmm. during the tornado.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy right here has got the biggest heart of anybody. He tries to act like he don't, but he's got the biggest heart about anybody that I've ever seen. And I think there's a lot of us that went through the tornado, and as a dispatcher going through something mm-hmm. like that, the phone calls had to be crazy, or trying to get police where they needed to go.
They were. Of course, I wasn't out there during the tornado event. The dispatchers that were there, of course, all of our phone lines went down. So we had a girl there and she was still receiving phone calls on her cell phone. So that's how we were getting messages, you know, out to our first responders and things like that. You know, she was still getting phone calls through her personal phone. So, you know, that was a big help. Plus, you know, we still had communications up with all of our first responders, I believe, at that time. So they could, we could tell them, you know, exactly where they needed to be and what was going on.
Well, that was a crazy time.
It was very crazy. I hope I never see anything like that again.
That was one of those, I think all of us kind of had to deal with each other or trying to talk to each other. I think it was a bonding experience for a lot of us.
I think so. You know, and again, too, with the all this flooding, you know, that we've had here recently, you know, that's been an ordeal. I just hope that we don't ever see any more of that, but I'm afraid we will, because I think when we had that tornado here, I think it pushed that whatever that is in the atmosphere, and I think now we're in that tornado alley.
It comes right at us,
you know. All it seems like the winds blow more, and it seems like, you know, we're getting more of those, you know, effects all the time. So
how does that affect what you do when the weather comes in? Is that something where you guys have to go into different modes, basically?
Well, the term I use is you better get ready because it's coming, you know. So, and we sometimes will have extra dispatchers come in, you know, in case they're needed in particular events. But a lot of times, you know, I feel very confident in every one of them that's out there that, you know, they can handle anything that comes in there. So, you know, but we always would like to have a backup and just in case, you know, the phones get overloaded or calls coming in, whatever it might be. We'll always have an extra person there as well. So
how do you prepare when you get up? And well, I start to say get up in the morning and go. I mean, do you have a ritual? Like, I get two coffees, I get, you know, an orange juice. What is your thing?
I get up, get prepared for the day. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I don't drink coffee. But, you know, I just have the mindset that, you know, today's another day. You know, anything can happen. So let's just get prepared for it.
And how do you get rid of it at the end of the day?
I don't personally. All mine, just anything that I have done, gone through, been through, I think it just regresses into the back of my mind. I don't think about it a lot, but there are, again, times I'll see something or something, and it'll bring back something. But I don't keep it in the forefront of my mind. I try to just, you know, put it back there where everything else is.
Well, and when you compartmentalize like that, I think it's hard to do with some things.
It is.
We love you guys for that, and I don't think you get enough credit for it either, because I know we talk about the police officers, law enforcement, you know, EMS certainly, when they go through things like that, you know, that they, you know, that's traumatic events, and they pile up one on top of the other. But we don't think about you guys, and you guys are the first ones that get the worst of it.
That's right. We're actually the first responders is what we're called. And then, you know, we're the ones that are trying to get all the information we can to get to these people so that we can get them out and get them going. But you take that on a daily basis. We're taking all the information in from everywhere, everybody. You know, it's not just one call for EMS or one call for the police department or sheriff's office. It's everybody all combined. And then we're having to talk to those folks and talk to the first responders. And sometimes it gets a little bit hairy in there, but, you know, but all in all, I think all of us do a good job.
How does that differ from, and how do you swap over from like KSP to local 911? Is there a line somewhere?
We have two dedicated 911 lines that are for Caldwell County, but now we do get other calls from Trigg County, Crittenden County. I'm not very familiar with all of how it works, but it depends on what tower you hit as to what 911 call center you're going to get.
Okay.
So it depends a lot
just
on the tower sites.
Tower.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of them from the interstate, like with
I-69? We do. I-69, I-24. Yeah, we get a lot from out there.
Well, and that's got to be hard, too, because you got to figure out if they're all the way on I-24, who's closer?
Right. If a lot of times, you know, people out there on I-24 especially, they get mixed up because, you know, we only have a small area, I think maybe, a mile and a half,
right,
something like that. And we're always continually asking people, you know, are you going east or west? And can you see a mile marker? Do you see exit 56? And, you know, a lot of times they're in a position to where they're in between mile markers. They can't see it. So they don't know if they're actually in Lyon County or Trigg County or in Caldwell.
That'd be me, Dwayne.
So you know, we try to narrow it down so that we don't get all of our people heading in that one direction, because who knows, we may have something else going on right on the other side of the county.
That can be so confusing.
And that can be really confusing for everybody.
So is there some of it that you do by cell phone instead of, like, over the air or on, I keep calling it a CB. It's not a CB.
Yeah.
It's over the scanner.
No,
we call it the scanners.
No, mostly all of our stuff is done over the scanner. That way, if it's a police call, then our, you know, our local law enforcement, sheriff's office, they all know what's going on, you know, and instead of giving it to one individual over a phone, you know, and that individual goes to whatever, well, then the rest of the party doesn't know what's going on with that one officer.
Right.
So we give everything that we give it out over the air.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You got to be careful about what you give out over
right,
the air sometimes,
right,
too.
Right. Yeah, it's anything, you know, pertaining to a juvenile, anything of that nature, you know, there are really sensitive matters
right
that you can't give out over the air. But, you know, you try to just do the best you can with, I guess, the wording, and then have maybe an officer call you to get further information on something like that.
These days, they've got so many scanner apps, and people have scanners at home, like a lot more than what they used to. And,
oh, yeah,
and it's, you know, between the scanners and social media, they just about know what's going on before anybody can get there, right?
They know more about what's going on than we do.
Right?
But, yeah, it's hard to, you know, to keep sensitive things down, but we do the best that we can. And a lot of times we'll give something out, and, you know, then it makes for a bottleneck if people are listening to that.
Right.
They want to get to that area to see what's going on, and, you know, you're hindering your first responders to get to the scenes. And, you know, that's the only bad thing about, I guess, people having scanners and things of that nature, because – you know, they get there and they get in the way, and then it's just chaos.
You need families to be able to be notified as well.
Yes.
And there's a kindness that goes along with that, I think, too.
Yes. You don't want anything broadcast on airwaves that a family might be listening, and they hear that. Well, you know, that's just bad on the family.
Well, it's hard and it's scary.
It is scary because you don't want any information going out that might pertain to whose ever family. You know, it doesn't matter. If they hear that, then they're going to go, you know, right to the scene, and there may be things there that, you know, they don't need to see.
Dwayne, I am Mama Bear. I'm going. You hear me?
I understand.
Guns blazing, here I come.
I understand. I understand. People, and a lot of people, you know, are like that, I guess, you know, because I'd be the same way if I heard, you know, my son, grandson, granddaughter, whatever, and their name came across, you know, I'd be probably the first one there.
I think the reason you understand that probably has a lot to do with how you treat things over the airwaves, too.
Yes. It is. It is, because I wouldn't want anybody's names mentioned over the radios that is in a serious situation
right
at that time. it just makes for more trouble for everybody.
Is it harder these days than it used to be? Is it getting easier or harder?
It's not getting any easier. The call volume every day seems like it goes up a little bit every day. You know, people needing this or needing that, or you know, they need to talk to police officer, sheriff's officer, whatever it might be. But we're getting more and more of that. Not so much as far as emergencies go, but just on admin lines that people are calling in, just needing more and more, you know, help or assistance, whatever it might be, advice from an officer.
Do you think that's because the instances that you know that you need to have gone up, or that they feel more comfortable to call, or both? Maybe it's both.
It could be a combination of both. You know, the officers, you know, can help them out in a matter of, you know, if it's like a civil issue type thing, they can give them advice on that. Or if it's a criminal thing, they can give them advice on that too as well. It just seems like, though, every day it just gets a little more and a little more, you know.
And we do have a non-emergent number.
We do. We have four lines of for non-emergency calls. And two 911 lines.
And I do remember during the tornado, we did utilize a couple of those.
I think so, yes. I think we did, yes. But I know that whenever it came through, that it tore out all of our communication, telephone-wise, our 911 lines. And I think somehow they did get some of that back up and going for us. And I think our MA director, Joey McCaslin, I think he had a big part of that.
I think our ham people. Are you a ham guy?
I'm not a ham guy.
We've got a ridiculously talented, smart group of ham people.
Yeah,
I don't know how you say that correct, John Miller. You don't have to tell me.
He tries to get me to get in there and get on that too, but I told him, Joy, I said, I've just got too much other stuff going on. I said, I just do.
It's a lot to learn.
It is a lot to learn.
I don't see how you remember all the numbers.
Well, it's just like everything else, you know. It's just here, you know, in my head. And
muscle memory.
I guess so. Has to be.
Does it change up? Do you have to change the coding every once in a while?
No, not really. Not really. We use the same codes for everything since I've been there. It's always been the same.
Is the codes consistent across the U.S., or do they change up?
Now, some of them across the – they don't use codes anymore. They just talk, you know, like you and I are talking here.
Huh.
You know, they just talk. They don't use, like, a, you know, codes, the 10 codes. As far as
they just say what it is,
they just say what it is and go, and yeah, and they don't use those codes.
Huh. That sounds like a Texas thing. I bet they do that in Texas.
I think that changed back some years ago for some states because of the people, I guess, understanding and knowing maybe what the codes meant.
Right.
So,
way do you like it better? What do you think?
I like it both ways. I mean, you know, the main thing is out there is for officer safety,
right?
You know, for these officers and for our EMS people and fire department. You know, you've got to use these codes that, you know, a bad person might be on scene and they don't know what that code means, but, you know, your law enforcement does, and that you know, gives them a little bit more knowing, I guess, right, you could say, of, you know, this person.
Well, and it's a tool, really.
It's a tool. You're right. It's a tool that we use just so that we can keep all of our people safe.
Well, I can't let you out of here until I ask the question. Brent, are you listening? So who's easier to deal with, Brent Francis or Sheriff Weedman?
Boy, that's a toss-up.
I know, right?
I tell you what, I'm going to leave it at that as a toss-up.
I love both of them. Yeah. I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just say.
They both do an excellent job at what they do. And, you know, you couldn't ask for anybody any better, any more knowledgeable than that both of them are, and they do great jobs.
I don't even know how many years Brent Francis has been doing that.
Brent's been in it. I think he got in it right out of high school, maybe.
Isn't that something?
So that's been almost 50 years.
Well, and you see these guys, too, outside as coroner. Yeah. And you see them in a different light as well.
I do.
Does it seeing them on the other side, does that make being, you know, a dispatcher, just understand them more?
It makes me understand them on their side of things, of what they're wanting, what they're seeing and what they're doing and what they're wanting us to do as far as dispatchers, as far as information goes. You know, it helps them out a lot more to understand what the situation is that's going on at the time.
When you see what a real-time scene looks like, acts like, how it needs to move.
Yes.
And I think that probably has a lot of,
has a lot of bearing on the information that they receive, even before they get there, you know, what to expect when they get there.
Well, I mean, on the TV, they're all sitting around with their feet up and you know, eating lasagna. Somebody's always cooking. And
yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff going on. That's the way it is, right, in real life?
Well, yeah, in real life, yeah.
I want people to understand that y'all work really, really hard.
We do.
It's not probably the most glamorous job in the world.
It's not, you know. We don't get recognized a lot, and we're not there for the recognition. We're there for the people of this county and community, and we want to make sure that we keep everybody safe.
We appreciate you, and we love all of you, and I cannot say thank you for your service enough. And I've seen this guy in some pretty bad times, and he knows how to to put it aside and do what he needs to do. But we sure appreciate you.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Happy Telecommunicators Week. And this is not the only guy that's coming in either. We've got them every day this week. We're going to have somebody.
Yeah,
I'm going to be dragging Miss Shirley in here, too.
Yeah, get her in here because she needs to get back on the radio a little bit.
Yeah, I appreciate you, my man.
All right.
Stick around. We're going to talk about two lights. If anybody calls about all of these lights in the windows, Dwayne, we're going to tell you what that's all about coming up next. Okay.